Thank you. Can you hear me? Thank you, and good afternoon. Happy Sabbath, and greetings as well to those that are with us but not in the room that can hear us online or otherwise. Happy Sabbath to you. Hope you can join us sometime. I've got to start out with a question for you to ponder. The question is, why is the word abbreviation such a long word? Shouldn't it be something shorter for that? Okay, you don't have to ponder that too long, because I got more serious questions coming up. And it's an issue regarding God's law and the Sabbath. Most professing Christians believe that God's law is done away. Or they believe the law isn't done away, but it doesn't matter. It's, you know, it's not relevant. Another common one is, well, the law, God's law is not done away, but just one commandment has been changed. And all of these, whichever one it is, most of those are because they disagree or don't want to keep one commandment. And most of us know what that is. I mean, most people agree that not murdering or stealing or adultery, and most of those are, but they disagree with the Sabbath. Well, if you're in this room, you should have resolved that question or questions about the importance of God's law and the Sabbath. And there's a number of ways you could do it. And I hope you have a number of scriptures in your head right away, in your mind, that you can, you know, tell why those ideas are wrong. One of the first ones might be in Matthew 5, where Jesus played. In fact, I'm going to turn there. Matthew 5, verse 17. Should be a memory verse. This one, maybe the next couple or so, Jesus plainly said, "Do not think I came to destroy the law or the prophets." Don't think that. "I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." The next word says something different. It's the same thing in different words. Verse 19, "Whoever breaks one of the least of these things," says the same thing, different words. Next verse, similar thought. And the whole rest of the chapter explains God's law, makes it more spiritually applicable rather than just the physical. Matthew 5:17 says, "I didn't come to destroy the law, I came to fulfill." I've heard some people say, well, fulfill, that means he kept it so we don't have to. It doesn't say that anywhere. In Romans 13:8 through 10 actually says that love is the fulfillment of the law. He listed 5 of the 10 commandments, and he'll say if there's any other ones they apply to. So fulfilling means just keeping the law, and Jesus did that. He was our example. There's dozens of similar scriptures I hope you could use, that I could use, to answer this question about the law and Moses in the Old Testament. Some people think that, well, New Testament, Old Testament, and New Testament, they're different. They're totally apart. They're Jewish. They're not for us. I'm going to take a different approach rather than using these common scriptures. And to do that, I'm going to go to the Old Testament in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 18. I'm trying a digital Bible up here. I might turn a little quicker than you are. You do. Deuteronomy 18 is a very important scripture. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. "The Lord your God..." This is Moses talking. "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren, him you shall hear." That's so important. I'm going to read it one more time. "The Lord your God will raise up a prophet like me," that means like Moses, "from your midst, from your brethren, him you shall hear." And pay attention to that last sentence, "him you shall hear," because we're going to hear that later, much later. My title is simply "A Prophet Like Moses," based on Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. There's three parts to this message. In this message, the first part, who was that prophet? Later I ask, how was that prophet like Moses? And the final we'll get to, why, number part three, why is this important? But first of all, part one. Who was a prophet like Moses? Certainly there are many prophets, many characters, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that have the characteristics of Moses. Moses was a great leader. He had a lot of great characteristics. King David was a prophet. He was a shepherd like Moses. He was a man after God's own heart. Some of the Jews think Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, some of the major prophets were the prophet that Moses is referring to. Ezekiel is called the Son of Man dozens of times. In the New Testament, it was said of John the Baptist, and I'm going to go to Matthew 11, verse 11, at least quote that and read the verse, Matthew 11, 11. Said of John the Baptist, surely, this is Jesus talking, surely I say to you that among those born of women, there is not risen one greater than John the Baptist. That one's pretty easy to resolve. In the book of John, John 1, verse 21, John the Baptist was asked, are you the prophet? Simple answer, no. Actually, just before that, he was asked, are you Elijah? Because there's prophecies about Elijah, another Elijah to come. He says, I am not. Are you? And then he was asked, are you the prophet? He said no to that one. We could speculate all day. There's a lot of prophets that are similar, have similar qualities. But rather than speculate or guess, let's go right to the Bible to answer that question. And for that, we're going to go to Acts chapter 3. With another very important verse and set of verses, Acts 3, verses 19 through 21. These verses, as I recall anyway, were a favorite by a former head of the church decades ago. He went by the initials HWA. you might recall, maybe a lot of sermons here. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken of by the mouth of all his holy prophets, since the world began. It says Jesus Christ was preached to you before. He was preached by the prophets before. This is talking about Jesus. Heaven's going to receive him until these things happen, spoken of by the prophets since the world began. That's an important verse. A lot of Holy Day sermons in those verses. You probably heard some. It's not part of my message, but the next verse is Acts 3, verse 22. Acts 3:22, for Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things whatever he says to you. 23, and it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Jesus was like Moses. In Deuteronomy 15, it's referring to Jesus. Moses was a type of Jesus. Moses and Jesus are alike. Not my idea. I'm looking at Acts 3. A little sidebar here. There are hundreds of references to the Old Testament in the New Testament. Scriptures are quoted and referred to hundreds of times. This verse, Deuteronomy 18:15, is mentioned twice in the Old Testament, twice in the New Testament. I'm just wondering how many scriptures are mentioned more than once in the Old Testament, more than once in the New Testament. I don't know the answer to that one. It'd be something interesting to research. Anyway, Moses is the prophet like Jesus. Part two, how are they alike? Now, my list is not complete. And I hope in your reading you find a whole lot more ways that Jesus is like Moses. Where I'm going to have list just a few. When you're thinking about the life of Moses, a biography, I'm a short Reader's Digest version what Moses did, with the main events in his life. What would you list as the main event or events in Moses' life? And I listed a couple. You might have these two, maybe one more. Looking at the big picture, Moses led his people out of slavery, and he received the Ten Commandments from God. And we're going to look how Jesus is similar to these two. First, Moses led God's people out of slavery. We're going to turn to Romans 6. Romans 6, there's a long section here. Romans 6, starting in 15, really to the end of the chapter, where it says sin is a type of slavery. Moses took his people, God's people, out of slavery. God sets us free from sin, and we then become slaves, but slaves of righteousness. If we repent and are obedient to God, if we're slaves of God, we've been set free from sin and from the penalties of sin. Paul can be kind of hard to understand. I encourage you to read the end of this chapter, all these verses. I'm not going to read all of it. I'm going to read maybe verses 16 through 18. Do you not know to whom you present yourself as slaves to obey? You are that one slaves whom you obey, whether sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin in the past, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Over and over and over, you notice that Paul contrasts the way of the world versus the way of righteousness, the way of good, the way of bad. There's two things, and here as well. Slaves of sin or slave of righteousness. Christ set an example for us. And that said, you could probably quote a few of those. I've got some references here, but Christ set example for us. He's our example. Part two, before I go to that one, about slavery, being set free from slavery. Have you ever had someone that found out that you kept God's Sabbath and other holy days that he commands, and they mock you for this? Or maybe I've heard radio preachers that have mocked people and said, why would you go back to that bondage of keeping the Sabbath, those things in the Old Testament, those Jewish things? Why would you do that? And they have that exactly backwards. They maybe have read but haven't noticed Exodus 20, that part they say is done away. Exodus 20, verse 2, is God speaking. Verse 1, the Lord spoke all these things, saying, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And then he gives the Ten Commandments. Sinning is a type of bondage. God gave the Ten Commandments to a people that came out of bondage. Now to part two, the second one, major event in Moses' biography, in Moses' life. The first one, he set his people free. One of the major second ones, he received the Ten Commandments from God. Actually, Moses received the law, and when I say law, it's referring to the Torah. It's more than just the Ten Commandments, but Moses received a lot from God, and he received it from actually the one who became Jesus Christ. That may sound strange to some. Most in this room know that the God of the Old Testament was Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:4 is just one of many, many verses showing that Jesus was the God of the Old Testament. He said they drank of that rock, that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. We're aware of that. Moses went up a mountain to get the Ten Commandments, receive the Ten Commandments, and went up Mount Sinai. At the beginning of his ministry, Jesus, how do you do it? Went up a mountain and gave the, it's called the Sermon on the Mount, because he went up. Have you noticed how many important things happened when people went up a mountain? We'll see some more of that later. Jesus went up a mountain, taught more about God's disciples. He taught his disciples about God's law and the spiritual aspects. Those are the first two major thing ways Moses and Jesus are like. I've got a whole bunch more. They're a little shorter. A lot of similarities. When Moses was born, the king of Egypt tried to kill him by killing all Hebrew male babies. And I know that was a Pharaoh, but Exodus 1 mentions, says it's a king of Egypt. Likewise, when Jesus was born, another king, King Herod, ordered all the male babies around Bethlehem under 2 years old were to be killed. Matthew 2:16. Different centuries, similar events. Another one. Jesus is God. Now, where in the world can I be going with this to say how Moses is similar? Does Moses fit that picture? Moses, actually, we're going to go to Exodus 7. Moses was seen as God. Exodus 7, verse 1, this is God talking. Exodus 7, verse 1, so the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have made you, Moses, as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother shall be your prophet." Jesus is God, Moses was seen as God. And Moses, it's also said, Moses was seen as God to his brother as well, his brother Aaron. That's in Exodus 4, verse 16. Another similarity, Moses spoke what God told him to speak. As long as we're here, if you turn to Exodus 7, verse 2, this is God speaking, "You shall speak all that I command you, and you and your brother shall tell the Pharaoh to send the children of Israel out of his land." Moses was speaking what God told him. Jesus came to do the will of his Father who sent him. John 10:14, Jesus said, "The words I speak, I do not speak on my own authority." John 10:14. He was speaking for God, just as Moses was speaking for God. Another similarity, Moses was a shepherd. He spent, 40 years exiled from Egypt. I assume most of those years he was a shepherd. Jesus said he's the good shepherd. John 10:11. Similar. Another similarity, Moses was a judge to his people. Exodus 18 lists how Moses is working way too hard all day long judging people, and his father-in-law gave him some advice on how to do it differently, more efficiently. Moses was a judge. Jesus is a righteous judge. John 5:50. "My judgment is righteous," Jesus talking, "because I do not seek my will, but the will of my Father who sent me." Now, I'm reading a lot of scriptures here. I'm probably not giving you time to turn to all of them, because you've heard these in the Old Testament. You've heard them in the New Testament. And if you're like me, you read these, but maybe you didn't exactly match them, realize that they're talking about different people, but they're similar. Moses and Jesus. Same characteristic, centuries apart. Something like 1,400 years apart. Another similarity. The people wanted to stone Moses. Exodus 7:4. The crowds wanted to stone Jesus. John 8:59. In both cases, the crowds were unsuccessful. Another similarity. Moses did not eat or drink for 40 days and 40 nights. You know where I'm going with this, with Jesus. And Moses, they references Exodus 34:28. If you want that. Jesus fasted also 40 days and 40 nights. It's a very specific number. It's not close. It's exactly the same. We're going to go to Exodus 34 for the next one. When Moses came down from the mountain, his face was shining. He didn't realize it. That's in Exodus 34:29. In fact, he had to put a veil on his face some of the time. He frightened people. Jesus, in Matthew 17, when he was transfigured on the mountain, his face was shining like the sun. Matthew 17, verse 2. We're just getting started at some of the similarities here. Jesus is like Moses. This one's from Numbers chapter 1. Moses chose 12 disciples from the tribes. It's Numbers 1, verse 44. For Jesus, we're going to go to Mark 10. Jesus chose 12 disciples. Actually, that verse mentions disciples. It also mentions apostles. Jesus chose 12 disciples or apostles. Moses chose 12. Once again, a very specific number, the same for both. Could this be chance? With one or two of these, of course. With all of these, centuries apart? Nope. We're going to go to Exodus 24 next. Moses appointed 70 elders. That's in Exodus 24, verse 9. For Jesus, that's in Luke 10, Jesus appointed 70 men, and he appointed them to preach. This is in Luke 10, verse 1. Again, very specific numbers, both exactly the same. I scribbled some notes last night because I came another reference to this in Numbers 11. Once again, the 70 men, after they came down from the mountain, these 70 men prophesied. Now, the word prophesied back there, most people agree, doesn't necessarily mean a prediction of the future. They're not quite sure, but a bunch think that it could mean sounding forth the praises of God and declaring his will. This is maybe a little of my conjecture, but Jesus' disciples went out to, 70 went out to preach. I'm thinking that the 70 of Moses did the same thing because they went partway up the mountain, not all the way up with Moses, but they learned what God was teaching. Another similarity. Jesus died as a penalty for our sins. 1 Corinthians 15:3. Now, whoa. Where are we going with this with Moses? Did he die for our sins? That was in 1 Corinthians 15:3. Let's look at Moses. He offered himself as a sacrifice to God. This is in Exodus 32. He said, "If you will forgive their sin, but if I pray not, blot me out of your book." If you will forgive your sin, he hoped God would forgive the sins of the people. But if not, he said, blot me out of your book. That offer, of course, was rejected by God. Let me break the similarities here. There's more, but I'm going to give credit where credit is due. The inspiration for this message came from an awesome sermon I heard in 2014. I listened to it many times, by Mr. Jonathan Garnett. Last name is G-A-R-N-A-N-T. Actually, he gave this message twice in the summer of 2014. Different titles. He and I have different intro. We have different scriptures. We have a different ending. But what's the same about our two messages, the conclusion is the same. And I encourage you to look. If you're searching for it, one way to do it, in the UCG sermons, there's title, date, and congregation. In the title box, just type in Moses. And there's just a few dozen sermons on Moses. There's 39,000 sermons total, but not many on Moses. Here's a few more similarities. Moses was royalty in Egypt. He left a position of power to serve an enslaved people. Jesus left his position of power in heaven to save an enslaved world. Another one. Moses was meek, but so was Jesus. Both were meek. Numbers 12, 23, meek and humble, very similar. Now, Moses, Numbers 12, 3 is the verse, Numbers 12, 3. The man Moses is very humble, more than all the men who are on the face of the earth. A few more. While Moses was leading Israel, God answered his prayer and fed the people with quail and manna. Manna is bread from heaven. It's a miracle. You know where I'm going with the New Testament? Jesus fed the 5,000. 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish. Another miracle, John 6:11. And if you had turned to John, which I didn't give you time to do, in John 6, after feeding the 5,000, I don't know if this is some of the people or all the people, said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." Even they realized that something spectacular was happening there. Another very prominent similarity, you should be familiar with this, Moses led the first Passover. And of course, Jesus is our Passover. Another one specifically for us. Moses led his people to the promised land. It took him 40 years. I've done a little research. Some people think that they could have walked that distance in 2 weeks. It took 40 years. Similarity with Jesus. We look forward to Jesus to return to earth and to set up his glorious kingdom. Some think it could happen soon. And those people could be right. It could happen soon. But that's what the people of Israel thought coming out of Egypt, that the promised land was soon. It wasn't. It could be for us, or I'm not saying 40 years, and we don't know. Well, I mentioned probably more than once that my list is incomplete, and I hope in your readings you find other similarities. They could be minor, they could be major, they could be subtle. And some of these, are exciting once you realize, wow, I didn't realize that before. There are definitely more, probably dozens more similarities. And is there any question that the prophet spoken of by Moses is Jesus? I hope there's no question there, because now comes part three. Why is this important? You might think, yeah, this is interesting. Hey, so what? It's very interesting. They're alike. To say that Jesus was like Moses, but then to say that Jesus came to do away with the very law that he gave Moses is nonsense. It's not logical. It does not follow. Jesus was like Moses in many, many ways. Moses is a major figure in the Old Testament. We all agree on that. Moses is also a major figure in the New Testament. We'll look at a few examples here. There's a continuity, a similarity between Moses and Jesus. First, we're going to go to Acts 28. It's the end of the last chapter in the book of Acts. Acts 28, it's towards the end of the chapter, verse 23. This is Paul talking, it's about Paul. He testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets from morning till evening. Paul was teaching about Moses. The Church of God also teaches from the law of Moses and the prophets. We know that Jesus and Moses were alike, not different. They didn't teach different things. John 5, verse 46 says, "If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you did not believe his writings, Moses' writings, how do you believe my words?" Do you believe the writings of Moses? Jesus said we should. Church of God teaches the writings of Moses. Acts 7, verse 38. I'm going to read the last part of this verse. It's talking about Moses. This is the one who received the living oracles to give to us. Talking about Moses on Sinai. Moses received something on Sinai to give to us. One that you're very familiar with, 2 Timothy 3:15 says that Timothy was taught from childhood the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 3:15, the Holy Scripture, the only Holy Scripture available to Timothy when he was a child, of course, was the Old Testament. That's what he was taught about salvation. I hope I haven't read all these scriptures. I hope I've read just parts of them. I'm supposed to keep this under 90 minutes, so I hope you'll go back and read the context of these. And I don't think I've taken anything out of context, but I want you to look on your own. Finally, let me tie everything together here. I hope with one amazing scripture. We've been there already, or referred to it anyway. The event is written in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and we're going to go in the book of Mark. I could go with others, but we're going to go with Mark 9. The transfiguration is mentioned in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's a real similar description. Here, Mark 9, verse 2, here Jesus took three leading disciples, Peter, James, and John. Once again, up on a high mountain, important event. He was transfigured. This is a vision. Jesus was shining brightly. I kind of think of, you know, the first Star Wars movie when the little robot garbage can projected Princess Leia and there's a little 3D hologram. Anyone see that movie? Anyway, where she said, "Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi." This event on the mount is probably much more glorious, but that's what I can think of. Anyway, they're up on the mountain, Peter, James, John. Elijah and Moses appeared, and they were talking with Jesus. That's Mark 9, 4. Elijah and Moses were talking with Jesus. I started this message with Matthew 5, 17, where Jesus said he did not come away to do with the law, or the prophets. Who's on the mountain with him? Moses, who gave the law from God. Elijah, one of the major prophets. Mark 9, verse 7. A voice came out from the cloud. "This is my beloved son. Hear him." I said we had referred to this earlier. We heard this in Deuteronomy 18:15. Behold, I will send a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear. A voice from heaven says, "Him you shall hear." Obviously referring to Jesus. The two events are together. This is a vision of the kingdom of God on earth. How do I know? Mark 9, verse 1. Jesus saying, "Surely I say to you that there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God present with power." He didn't say all the disciples would see the kingdom of God before they die. He said some. And what's the very next thing happens? Moses and Elijah, two important people, appear on the mountain with him. Moses was important in the Old Testament. Moses and the law of God is important in the New Testament. Moses, as we see here, will be important in the future kingdom of God. Jesus was like Moses, and he is our example today.